Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for making a place for me, opening my eyes, and now I see. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for shining a light on me, putting me right where I'm supposed to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll never, never know just why you love me so. How do you do what you do when you say that you love me? I have to stop and sing about the love you bring. You put the spark and the flame and the fire, you inspire me. Thank you for making a place for me, opening my eyes, and now I see. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for shining a light on me, putting me right where I'm supposed to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Whatever I do is in your name.
I will thank you.
Whatever I say is in your name. However I sing is in your name.
I will thank you.
However I love is in your name.
Lord, I thank you.
Whatever I do is in your name.
I will thank you.
Whatever I say is in your name.
Lord, I thank you.
However I sing is in your name. Oh.
Yes, begin to tell the Lord thank you. Begin to tell the Lord thank you for all of the good things that the Lord has done. Begin to tell him thank you. When you arise in the morning, tell him thank you. There's a thank you that God is trying to get out of his people. God wants to be God all by himself. I want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for keeping me, God. Thank you, Father, for looking out even when I couldn't see, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for leading the way even when I did not know the way. God is saying, I need a thank you. Tell him thank you.
Whatever I do. Whatever I sing is in your name.
I will thank you.
However I love is in your name.
Lord, I thank you.
Whatever I do is in your name.
I will thank you.
Whatever I say is in your name.
Lord, I thank you.
Oh, whoever I sing is in your name.
Amen. Glory to God. God is operating at his best. God is moving by his spirit. There is nothing like God. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to thank everyone. My line was muted, but it is now open. Again, we say thank you. Thank you for moving by your spirit, God. Thank you for becoming, being all that we need you to be, God. Even when we were not able, Lord God, you have always been able. Father, we thank you, God, that we are preparing ourselves to be more like you. God, that you have caused things to manifest in our lives, God, because we love you, Lord, and you first loved us. And we understand without you, nothing is possible. But in you, God, all things are possible. So again, we say thank you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. This is Prophetess Pastor Teresa Dotson. I'm excited and delighted to be here with you this evening. I hope you are enjoying the blessed day of the Lord. This is another blessed day that God has given us. We've been quarantined by the world because God allowed it. We've been pushed into prayer because God has allowed it. Amen. Amen. There's nothing that's impossible with Christ. I want to talk to you about, we're going to be going over the fivefold, what God have called to perfect the church. You know, God has a plan. He have always had a plan. When he created the heaven and the earth, he had a plan. When he created man, he had a plan. So just always know that God have already planned everything out, and he has counted up the cost. Amen. Before you do anything, make sure that you are being led by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. But Father, we just thank you right now for this hour of power, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you have set us apart for the master's use. God, I ask you to be the oracle of heaven would be in my mouth. And as I open up my mouth, thou kingdom come. God, I thank you, Lord God, that you'll give us strategic plans and thoughts, that we would know your will, Lord God, that the mind that's in us will be the mind that's in Christ Jesus. Father, that we'll renew our minds, Lord God, so that we can become what you called us to become. And Father, we thank you that as we drive and as we push and we walk and we press forward, Lord God, Father, that you would lead the way. So we thank you for doing it. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray and we say yes and amen. Amen. I hope you have your Bibles, and I pray that you have your ink pen, your notebook, and that you are sitting at the table, because guess what? The feast of the Lord is going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's a time, this is the time and season for spiritual preparation. Spiritual preparation. Why do we need to be spiritually prepared? It's for the journey. It's for our destiny. It's to be qualified and equipped that when things happen, that we are spiritually prepared. God is raising up the fivefold. God is raising up his prophets, his apostles, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors. God is, he's raising the fivefold up so that we can be spiritually prepared for the journey. So in order for you to get the most out of this, you must be equipped. In order for you to get the most out of God's will for your life, you have to prepare yourself. Amen. You must be equipped. You must know your calling, and your calling and election has to be made sure. You're either in or out. You're either up or down. Amen. God said, I won't have you lukewarm, because I will spew you out of my mouth, spit you out. So God has caused some things to happen in the earth realm so he can get our attention, so that we can become spiritually prepared, so that we're able to go to that next level. Amen. So the basic preparation is to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's our Lord and he is our Savior, so that he can be our spiritual guide. He already told us that he would not leave us nor forsake us, but he wants to be our spiritual guide. He wants to guide us so that we'll know his will and we'll know his way. And when we hear his voice, we will listen and follow, and a stranger we will not follow. Amen. a stranger we will not follow. I want to just briefly review this, and then I'm going to talk about the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet. We're going to be on that subject today, and then on next week, we're going to go to the apostle. I'll be talking about the apostle, and we'll go on until we complete the fivefold. And then after that, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to make some things plain so that we will not be confused with what we're called to do, because God said that he's not in confusion. So we have to be clear, and we have to know what God has called us to do. Amen. We can't just be tossed this way and that way. We have to be sure what we're called to do. And once we have made our call and election sure, then we go after what God have assigned us to do. And then, of course, when we go after our assignment, there's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some things that's thrown in the way. But because we know that our purpose is we're sure about what we're called to do, then we go after it. Amen. But before we can go after anything of God, we must be spiritually prepared. Amen. Because you go through so much in life, you go through so much during your days, during your years, that sometimes you don't realize that you're not spiritually prepared. You're an emotional wreck. Amen. So God said, I want to equip you, and I want to qualify you, and I want you to come unto me. Why? Why do God want us to come to him? So that we can be prepared to serve, prepared to give, prepared, amen, because this earth is not our home. I think a lot of times we get it so confused that we build our kingdom, we build our treasures here on earth, but this earth is not our home. We're passing through. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to give you four simple steps that will lead you to receiving him as your Lord and Savior. And then if you've never received him and you're not sure, I want you to just note these steps. And then I'm going to go into the difference between, we're going to talk about the fivefold, but we're going to talk about the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet. And then, as I said, we'll go on as the following weeks go, and we're going to break down the fivefold, but then we're going to break down the gifts and the fruit and how important it is to serve and to minister the gospel, because it's a dying world. And all of that gift that you have, all of the abilities, all of the anointing that you have, God have given it to you for someone else. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us at all. It's all about God's kingdom manifesting here on earth. We're passing through. Amen. We are passing through. The first step is to realize that God loves you. How many of us really know that God loves you? You know, we can say it, but just to know that he loves you in spite of you, in spite of me, he still loves us. And guess what? He wants each and every one of us to have eternal life. That's the desire of our Father. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That's real plain. You won't perish. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. You won't perish. Embrace the word of God. Then the second step is for us to realize that we're saved by grace, that we have all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. But guess what? Sin separates us from God. He hates sin. Okay, I'm going to prove it to you. The Bible says in Psalms 97:2, God is holy and no sin can come into his presence. So you're praying and you think you're in his presence, but if sin is in the camp, it can't come in his presence. The Bible says righteous and judgment are the inhabitation of his throne. That's Psalms 97:2. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. So sin separates us from God. Amen. So we must know that every single day we have to examine ourselves. You know, I say daily, Lord, create in me clean heart and renew the right spirit. Because when you go through your day, you pick up things. You know, that old stinky flesh want to take over. So I say, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew the right spirit in me. And then cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God hates sin. He's not going to tolerate sin. Amen. God is awesome. I'm telling you, he is awesome. He's a good God. And then the third point, and I can go on with other scriptures, how sin separates us from God, and but the iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Isaiah 59:2, our sins have hid his face. We can't take that lightly. We have to strive. We have to strive for some things. We have to forgive. You won't get hurt. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all of the entire world go free? No. You got to go through some things to get to some things. Amen. The third step is to realize that only in Jesus Christ can forgiveness of sin and salvation be yours. Amen. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. John 14:6. I just get excited. You know, there's so many scriptures that when you sit at the table, you realize the feast of the Lord is really, truly going on, especially when you eat it. When you have a taste for it, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can you literally taste how good God is? We won't perish. When we use what God has and be spiritually prepared for our journey, because we're on a journey. And then the fourth step is to receive Jesus Christ personally as our Savior and Lord. These simple steps that cause us to have spiritual preparation. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them, this is the part I want you to understand, and I want you to ask God to show you this one. The Bible says, as many as received him, he to them gave he power. You have power, untapped in power to become the sons of God. As 1 John 1:12, so we must ask to receive him and his gifts of eternal life, his gift of eternal life. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, he said what? I will come into him. So what does that tell us? He said, I will come into him. He'll reside in you. The Holy Spirit will dwell there. So when you get there, guess what? God is there. When you open your mouth, God is speaking. Because guess why? He took over you. He consumed you. So he said, I will not dwell in an unclean temple. So what does that mean? We have to repent daily, whether we know we have sinned, whether we don't think we have sinned, however be it, it's better to be safe than sorry. Just repent daily. Lord, forgive me. Father, if I said or done anything that's not pleasing to you, Lord God, Father, I ask you to forgive me right now in the name of Jesus. So as quickly as you ask. Our God is awesome. You don't have to beg him, Lord, please. Would you please forgive me, Lord? I'm sorry. I didn't try to do that, God, please. You don't have to go through all the drama. God will do it when you ask. Amen. So be prepared for the journey. What journey? This spiritual journey that God has equipped you and qualified you to go on after you're spiritually prepared. So I said I was going to talk about the difference of the gift of prophecy, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the office of a prophet. We're going to break down the fivefold, you know, so we can understand. If I prophesy, does that make me a prophet? If I prophesy, does that make me a prophet? No. It's the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy does not make me a prophet. See, there's a difference between the office of a prophet and the gift of prophecy. Now, let's just take a look at the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy, I'm going to have you turn to 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. And I pray that you're looking through your word. It's like it's a blessing just touching the scriptures. It's a blessing just going into the word and setting time apart out of your day to eat at the table. The gift of prophecy is one of the 9 spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit. So it's a gift. And there's a variety of gifts. The Bible says, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God, who work all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So that means you have a gift and this person have a gift, and when you work together, guess what? You're like a spiritual bomb. Amen. And then verse 8 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge, according to what? The same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the same Spirit. Lord, have mercy. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gift of healing, I'm sorry. And to another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits, discernment. To another, variety kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit worketh all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to be earnestly desired. You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't want all that. You know, I don't need all that. Too much. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 that the gifts are to be earnestly desired. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Now, don't get me wrong. Love is everything. But to be walking in love or with the love of Christ and you're gifted, the Bible says, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. because the Lord knew that we would need these gifts, but especially that ye may prophesy. Why would he want us to prophesy? Verse 2 says, for one who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands it. In his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to man to edification and exhortation and consolation. So now you're building people up. Kingdom building. It's about building people up. The people that are assigned to you. See, everybody's not assigned to you. Because you know when a person is assigned to you because you have a grace for them. Amen? Now, if your grace is ran out for a person, maybe that's somebody else's assignment. Amen? So know your grace. Know your grace. Amen. So the gifts of his Holy Spirit. God wants us to earnestly discern, earnestly pursue prophecy. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to know his voice. He wants us to even know what's going to be in the morning's paper. He wants us to know something before it happened. He wants us to be so equipped and qualified that when we speak, things start happening in the natural. Amen. Because guess what? We're little G's. He made us in his own image, in his own likeness. So God, you know how you want your children to look good and do the right thing, and you want them to follow Christ, and then you want them to be an example of your tutorage, what you taught them to be. All parents want that. We're all good parents. And so God wants the same thing for us. He wants people that when they see the children of God, he wants them to see something strange that they can't put their hand on. But when you speak, something happens. When you pray, heaven is moved, is shaking, and hell is trembling. Amen? That you are a sharpshooter. When you come in to pray, you don't have to do a whole lot of praying. But the Bible says pray without ceasing. But what I mean is when you're strategically targeting something, that you are a straight shooter. Amen? You're a sniper in the spirit realm. And in one of my trainings that I'm taking, they're teaching us that all you need is a spotter because you're a sniper. Amen? You don't run with a whole bunch of people. You don't need a whole bunch of people. The Bible says, where two or three gather together in my name, I'll be in the midst. We got it all, right? So now you're going out for the kill. One shot, one kill. Amen. So you're about to crush the demon. And it's not going to take you a whole lot because guess what? You know his name. You know where he at. You know how he occupy. You know all everything about him. So when you shoot that shot, when you call heaven up, bam, gone. Never to be seen or heard from again. Amen, kingdom building. We're talking about building the kingdom so the kingdom of God can manifest here in the earth realm. I just get excited. Amen. So prophecy, let me not get ahead of myself. The word earnestly desire, it literally means to lust after. God wants us to lust after prophecy. God wants us to pursue his gifts. He desires to give us his gifts more than we could ever want them. Because when you put on the whole arm of God and you are equipped for the battle, and not only are you equipped for the battle, you're gifted in so many different areas. Paul said, I have them all. He said, I pray more in tongues than all of you. And he said, but I want you to desire all of them so you can be a sniper. Amen? And you don't miss the mark. You know, God wants us to pursue these gifts. So prophecy is a gift, not a reward. We didn't earn it. We received it by asking. So this means that even the very gifted people are not necessarily mature Christians. They may not even have good character. So therefore, the gift of the Spirit does not validate one walk with God. So what the word is saying is, just because a person is gifted, it doesn't mean that they're all that. What it means is they are walking in those giftings. So we don't chase after a gifted person. You're looking at the character, so that it's somebody that you know God used, and they follow him, they seek him, they desire his will. That's what you want to go after. But these gifts help us to become what God wants us to become, to help other people. It's not for us. So therefore, I want to talk about the Greek word for gift, charisma, and it which means favor which one received without any merit on his own. So it's just favor. You got the gift on you, and the gift looked good on you, and there's nothing you did to deserve it. So the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of maturity in a person's life. So you're looking for what fruit are they bearing. You're not chasing what gifts they have. Oh, Lord, ain't she gifted? Ain't he gifted? What did he preach? Don't even remember. What verse did he come out? I don't know. What did she sing? Girl, I don't know what it was. All I know is that was my song. You know how we do. But all of that, where are the fruit? The fruit grows in your life when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, to work through you. Amen. So the gift of prophecy is for the purpose of edification, exhortation, and consolation. Amen. Now I'm going to explain. Edification means to build up. Exhortation, to call near. Amen. See, and if you somebody prophesying to you and they condemn you, you can really tell them no thank you. Because it is to exhort you, to build you up, to call you near to Christ. And then consolation means what? To cheer you up. You know, when you get a prophecy, when somebody prophesied to you, oh, my God, they're pointing your spirit, and what they're doing is when you leave there, you all the way full. You feel complete. So the gift of prophecy is to encourage the church. The primary purpose of the gift of prophecy is not to direct or correct the body of Christ, but rather to encourage the church. Amen. So we should never allow anyone who are ministering in the gift of prophecy to speak negative into the lives of others. You know, God got another, he got it to everything there's a season. You know, yes, we have to be corrected and we need to be able to stand corrected. Yes, you know, that's how you know you're growing. When you get corrected, it's okay because guess what? You're going to take a look at yourself. Amen. And it's only because of love. So don't let no one speak negativity in your spirit. You can easily say no thank you. Just no thank you. You don't have to be disrespectful, but no thank you. So the goal of a prophecy is to build you up. Amen. Because we are hidden treasures. You know, you are a treasure. You know, you are a treasure. You are a gift from God. And I can go on and on. And I'm telling you, if we see that any type of dirt that we might find, a hidden treasure, and the dirt is all on the treasure, are you going to throw the treasure away? Or what are you going to do? Are you going to clean it up? Yes. Yes. So if we see negative things in a person's life and we are ministering to them, we are to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the answer to the problem that we discern. Amen. So we can't always speak it, God, to give us the answer to the problem that we discern. So what we speak over them is the solution. Amen. So just say, and I'm going to give you an example. Just say you got a woman and she's real active in lasciviousness, and we see it on her and we prophesying to her. And do we say, you know, you need to, you know, and you're condemned and you're going to hell if you don't stop what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. No, we can prophesy life. You shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. I decree that you will become, and I declare that you are. Speak it, what you expect. Amen. What you expect God to do. Prophecy is necessary to build up, to cheer up, and to call near. Amen. God is good. We're talking about the gift of prophecy. And this is a time where God has set us apart so that we can manifest. You know, I see a lot that's on the line today. And some of us, we evangelists and teachers and pastors, and thank you, Apostle. Apostle is on the line. You know, we are not the title. The title is what we do. Amen. This is something that's God ordained. It's not man-made. This is God-ordained. Amen. So God is calling you to a new level of prophetic word. That's what he's doing, to purity and holiness. So in a way, we have prophecy to answer without speaking. And what I mean by that, sometimes God will give you, tell you something, and you really don't have to say a word. And then when you, as you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, then it'd be a time where he said, okay, you can release that. And I encourage you to connect yourself with kindred spirits. Amen. During this season. This is a season that God is getting his people spiritually ready. It's not church as usual anymore. It's not that you're going to go there, sit. You're about to manifest. You're about to be activated. You're about to become what God has called you to become. But guess what? You have to know what you're called to do. Nobody needs to tell you, but sometimes we do have to tell you to encourage you and push you into purpose. Amen? A spiritual midwife, a spiritual midwifery. It's like that baby coming out. It's coming out. Those babies are overdue. So, and then I talked about, let's kind of briefly talk about anyone who is saved and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit can minister in the gifts of the Spirit. And that's in 1 Corinthians 14:31. 14:31. And the Bible says that you can all prophesy one by one. That's what the Bible says. So that all may learn and all may be exhorted. So should you be prophesying? You can all prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:31. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. You hear God's voice. Guess what? He's speaking to you to cheer somebody up. He's speaking to you to build somebody up. He's speaking to you to call near. Exhortation. Amen. So he didn't just speak in your ear gate for you to say, well, I think I heard God, and I just didn't say nothing because I wasn't sure. Okay, no comment. But when we prophesy, we prophesy the answer and not the problem. Keep that in mind. When we prophesy the answer and not the problem. This will result in the person that we're prophesying to receive grace to the answer and not the problem. So they're not stuck in the problem. they're driven to the answer. They're driven to the solution. Amen. They are driven to the solution. I'm telling you, when you prophesy over a person and they are activated in the Spirit of the Lord, it's because that prophecy was accurate. The prophecy was accurate because they began to taste and see. You know, you begin to tell them something that they're wondering, how did she know that? Well, how did he know that? You had no way of knowing. But you brought fulfillment and they're built up. Amen. God is good. I'm telling you, excuse me, God is good. And I love him because he's God. I am not afraid to speak the voice of the Lord. And I want to encourage you the same. Not to be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to speak when you hear God. Because there's a reason that someone, God has given you that word for someone. But remember this now. He's going to give you an answer. I mean, he'll give you time. He'll let you know when to speak. You don't just go and be a renegade. And you at somebody else's church and you think you hear God, so you just, hey, come here, I got a word. No, God, he does everything decent and in order because he's God. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I just love how God operates. I love how he put this all together, the word, and how he raising up his people, how he's causing people to learn their identity in him, how he is perfecting the saints. Because guess what? Everyone that belonged to him in the unity of the faith, that we're all speaking the same thing, we're all saying the same thing, you know, and the fold cord cannot be broken. It's strong. Amen. God is good. The Spirit is poured out on all mankind so that we may, what? Prophesy. Acts 2 and 17. It shall be in the last days, God say, that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall all prophesy. And your young men shall dream visions, and your old men, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. Amen. So let me get to the point now, and then we're going to come to a close. The difference between a prophet and prophecy. See, some people, and the woman of God I was counseling the other day, I had to bring some things, you know, from the scripture so she can really get an understanding, because the Bible's saying all you're getting, get an understanding, hallelujah. To be a prophet, it's a calling, amen. Nothing you did, it's a calling. To minister in prophecy is a gift. So when a person minister in the gift of prophecy, the gift is the ability to prophesy. The word themselves are the gift. So what they actually say is the gift. So when a person is a prophet, they themselves are the gift. Okay. The book of Ephesians say, Christ gave gifts to men. The gifts that Christ gave to men are other men. Okay, so he mean mankind. So a prophet is a gift to the church. God already knew. He had everything in order. So if you got fivefold at every ministry to bring the church into the unity of the faith, you know, they don't have to be. I just believe personally that when you have ministry going on, that God will give you all of the gifts. They will be there in the ministry. It won't just be the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist. Somebody got the gift of prophecy on them. Somebody is a prophet, the apostle. May not have walked in their callings, may not have accepted their destiny, but I believe that there's no lack in the body of Christ. There's no lack in the church. And God is shifting this around for this very reason, that the people of God have not stepped up and said, I'm operating in this office, I'm operating in this gift. It's not about you. It's about the body of Christ becoming who God say that we are for the kingdom of God, for his kingdom. Amen? Amen. And so there is actually three components to mature ministries. And then if I give you these 3 points, I'm going to let you go and pray that as you depart, that you will spend some time with God and ask him to give you a deeper revelation of what he sent you here to do. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the difference between the 3 points that I want to talk about a mature ministry. These components include my calling, my giftings, and my anointing. That's a sermon that God gave me. But I want us to examine these important elements of a fruitful ministry. The ministry should be fruitful. Your calling, your giftings, and your anointing. So in other words, don't try to sow a dressing you can't sew. Amen. Don't go in the kitchen trying to cook and you know you can't cook. You know, don't try to make an album or a CD and you know you can't sing. You're not going to catch me in the studio. Amen. Not trying to sing anyway. I sing in the shower. Amen. God is good. But our calling give us our identity in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, first chapter, first verse, where Paul, he was called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. By the will of God. Amen? So our callings is not something we do, but it's something we are. And our identity actually lies in our calling, because we're not our own. You're not your own. You don't belong to you. You're not the boss of you. Amen. You're not the boss. You might have thought you was. I tell you this, the people of the world thought they were the boss of themselves, but guess what happened? God stepped in. He shut down the workplaces. He shut down schools. He shut down churches. God is God. He's the boss of us. He is our boss. He is our king. He is the king of kings. Amen. He's the king of glory. He's everything. You got him. You got everything because you got God. And I talked about it earlier. He said, I'll come unto you. He'll rest in you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. There's no reason for you to be in distress. Amen. So we have to multiply callings. We have to multiply them. By what I mean by that is we have to help people identify what they're here to do, because if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, the first person that asks you to do something, you often run it. Amen. And so we can, you know, sometimes you might have many callings on you. You know, we are all called as saints of God. And as saints, we have our identity as holy believers. Amen. But our gifts give us our abilities. Check 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to give you the word to substantiate everything that I'm saying to you. Thank you, Father. We're about to bring it to a close. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and 10, as each one has received a special gift. Knock, knock. Employed in it, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Remember I said, you got to have grace and know who you're assigned to. Amen. You won't throw the towel in because God, the manifold grace of God is on you. But you're serving one another as good stewards. So our gifts give us our abilities, and they're not something that we are, but something we do. So if we try to get our identity from our gifts, then we have to have a performance-based self-esteem. Some people get it twisted. You know, they get all pumped up because you got this gift. And then you make the gift look bad because you're really pumping your own self up. You know, because you can preach, you can teach, you can pray, you can sing, you can dance, whatever it may be. But whenever we can't use our gifts, we feel bad about ourselves. See, that's when you know that you're not operating in the right spirit. When you feel bad when your gift can't be used. So they let somebody else play the organ today, and they could have used you because you'd be at every rehearsal. But they chose somebody else. So now you're feeling bad, and now you're sowing discord. Now you're making the gift on you look bad. And then some people don't want to be bothered, which you might be gifted, but you don't understand the reason that you're gifted. It's not about you. It's to serve other people. Amen. When God gives you, he'll give you grace. The manifold grace of God. And when we minister through the spirit of prophecy, the spirit is using his gift through us. Amen. So again, it's not about us. He came to us to go through us. Amen. We're just vessels. Okay, and the last point, our anointing give us our purpose. Our anointing give us our purpose. Isaiah 61:1. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because the Lord has anointed me. Amen. Let me say it right. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners. It's not about me. Guess who it's about? It's about the afflicted. It's about the heartbroken. It's about the ones that are in captivity. And it's about the ones that need to be free, prisoners. So whenever the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon us, our lives suddenly take on purpose. We are inspired to accomplish something for God. So the gifts and callings of God are irreversible. So that means, what does that mean? God's not going to take it back because he gave it to you. It's, you know, you can be all out of character and still be so gifted and still walking in your calling, but your character. So, but the anointing of the Lord, it will flow according to your relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. So the gifts and calling of God are irreversible. He's not going to take it from you. I was going to go further, the office of a prophet, what a prophet is. A prophet is not a gift of the Holy Spirit like the gift of prophecy. Instead, the prophets are Christ's gifts to the church. Amen. So what I want to say to you is Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. So the prophet himself or herself is a gift from Christ to the church. They are not just gifted people, but they are gifts from Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the gift that they are to the church, it creates a call in their life to fulfill the responsibility of the office of a prophet. So the prophet is part of the fivefold team. See, teamwork makes the dream work. Amen. So there's three dimensions of the prophet: the gift of Christ, the call as a prophet, and the office of a prophet. Amen. Amen. God is good. You know, so there's a difference between a mantle and a anointing. This is good to me. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just loving it because the anointing stays with the prophet, but the mantle remains with the mission. God is good. The anointing stays with the prophet, but the mantle remains with the mission. So sometimes people are anointed as a prophet, but they have not yet to receive a mantle, an office. Until they receive their mantle, their office, they have no leadership role as a prophet. Hallelujah. You know, and I was thinking back when different apostles laid hands on me or, you know, was saying I transfer my mantle, and I didn't really know really at that time what was actually happening. And, you know, during the licensing and ordination, it just, I didn't really know. But they knew. They knew. God spoke to them. They knew. So here's David, is anointed as king, and the Spirit comes on him mightily. In 1 Samuel 16:11, and Saul said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "There remain yet the youngest, and behold, he's tending to the sheep." He wasn't even in the lineup. Amen. God, when God chooses you, you may not even be in the lineup. But it's God's because he's the king. He is the king of glory. Amen. So let the king of glory come in. Let the king of glory come in. Let him lead your life. You're not going through the motion, but you are finishing your course. So when you leave this earth, guess what? The Lord will say, "Thou good, hallelujah, thou good, hallelujah, thou good and faithful servant. Well done." Glory to God. You know, I just want to say to all, if you are here on the line and you don't know Christ, we talked about how to get spiritually prepared. And if you have accepted Christ on this call, I want to encourage you, get into a church home, a good sound base where they're teaching that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross, he didn't stay dead, he rose again, amen. He's seated next to the Father on the right-hand side, amen, amen. And once you confess that, you're part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I just want to decree a blessing over you before we leave the line. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you like what we're doing, sow into the ministry. Go to giveify.com. Kingdom builders and kingdom daughters. You're sowing seed into good ground. We're going somewhere, and we would like to take you with us. But Father, I thank you right now, God. You're holy, and you're the King of Kings. Father, we beckon you, God, to come into our heart, come into our lives, and lead us, God. that we will know your voice, that we'll be filled, God, with your glory, that we would know exactly what you would have us to do, God. Father, that we will not be tossed to and fro, that we'll be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, God. Father, give us those that are assigned to us. And we thank you for supernatural grace, God, that we won't just spin our wheels, Father. Father, that we'll be moved by your command. Father, I decree and declare right now, God, that my voice is being used by you. And that those that are on this line, God, that they'll be filled with your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, that there will be a grace on them, God, that they'll be able to stand when it's a time that's unstandable, God. And they will see the salvation of the Lord, Father. Father, I ask you for fresh fire, fresh anointing, God. Father, put fire in their mouth, God, that when they speak, God, Father, things begin to manifest, things begin to happen, God. And that they will call you, God, and always, always get an answer. Thank you for building them up, God. Thank you, God, for edification and exhortation, God, and consolation, God. I thank you that this is on each and every one on this line. That the gift of Christ is on each one on the line. The call is on their life, God, that they know exactly what they're called to do and that they will walk in it, Father. And others will be called to you, God. The other will submit to you because they're standing steadfast and they're not moved by situations and circumstances. So, Father, I ask you right now that you would hold them up on every side, that the blood of Jesus is trickling from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I call them blessed. I call their family blessed. I call everything that they do blessed by you, Father. And I thank you that they'll soar in the things of the kingdom. And I thank you, Father, that the joy, hallelujah, of the Lord is their strength. So I thank you for what you're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And it's already done. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to close out with this one song that I want you to be blessed by. When you wake up in the morning, I want you to begin to start your day off with a thank you. Keep saying thank you. Just keep saying it until the presence of the Lord take over. Amen. Tell him thank you. God bless everyone, and be blessed with this song.
Thank you for making a place for me, opening my eyes, and now I see. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for shining a light on me, putting me right where I'm supposed to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll never, never know just why you love me so. How do you do what you do when you say that you love me? I have to stop and sing about the love you bring. You put the spark and the flame and the fire. You inspire me. Thank you for making a place for me, opening my eyes, and now I see.